The reading today is taken from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 11, verses 1 to 11. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it to me. If anyone asks you, 'What are you doing?' tell him, 'The Lord needs it and will send it back here shortly.' They went and found a colt outside the street, tied to a doorway. As they untied it, some people standing there asked, 'What are you doing, untying that colt?' They answered as Jesus had told them to, and the people let them go. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead of those and others followed and shouted, 'Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest.'" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, everyone. I moved down, I feel a bit tall up there. So the scripture that's just been read is about Palm Sunday, which is today, in case you didn't know. Palm Sunday is the first day of Holy Week. So it is the Sunday before Good Friday, the day that Jesus was crucified. So this is a very special week in the life of Jesus and in the life of the church. The most important week ever in history. Lots of different events happen this week, and I'm just going to talk about a couple of them. This week begins a journey with Jesus to the cross. And for the disciples, that journey to the cross would have been scattered with moments of pain, grief, love, devotion, and moments of intimacy with Jesus. So I'm going to look at Holy Week, starting with Palm Sunday, and just see what we can learn from Jesus and from the disciples. So on Palm Sunday, we see Jesus riding into Jerusalem on a donkey. The people of that day would have realized that this was a fulfillment of a prophecy. The prophet Zechariah in chapter 9, verse 9, wrote, "Do not be afraid, O daughter of Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt." So these people would have known that they were in the presence of the king, and they would have waved palm branches and spread their cloaks in love and adoration of him. So what can we learn from this? I think one thing that we can learn is that sometimes life is a bit like Palm Sunday. Sometimes there are times when life is pretty good, when we know who Jesus is, when we love him, we adore him, and we want to spend our life serving him. And there are times like that, aren't there? And they're good times, really good times, cool times, times to treasure, times to enjoy, times to look back on, times to refresh. These are blessed times. It may appear to some of us like some people's lives are just one long Palm Sunday, where they're just blessed all the time. And it can look like that, I think, but if we were to ask those people, that's rarely the case, I think. All our journeys are full of twists and turns, ups and downs. We rarely walk a flat road, do we? We all have mountains to ascend and descend. And if our relationship with Jesus was one long Palm Sunday, would we ever really learn who he is? Would our relationship with him ever deepen? I don't think it would, really, because I think it's in the ups and downs and just the generalness of life that we actually get glimpses of who he is. So I think we can learn from this that there will be times like Palm Sunday when life is pretty good, But as we look at the rest of Holy Week, we'll see that it really stays like that. Those times rarely last. Another thing we can learn from Palm Sunday is from Jesus. Jesus entered Jerusalem to see palm branches being waved and cloaks being spread. And he saw the love and adoration of the people shouting, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." And that must have been an amazing sight for him. But he didn't come to Jerusalem for Palm Sunday. He came to Jerusalem for Good Friday. The road to Jerusalem was the road to Calvary. And he didn't come to hear the people shout, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord," because he knew mankind well, and he knew that some of these people, a few days later, would be shouting, "Crucify him." He came always, always for the cross. He came always to fulfill the will of the Father. And I think from that we can learn that this road, as followers of Jesus, may not be an easy one. There may be times when people reject us, when they hurt us, or when they abandon us. And these are hard times, difficult, painful, heartbreaking sometimes. And I understand that. But if we follow the example of Jesus, we can see that we need to walk the road with our eyes focused on the plan of the Father. No matter how right we may feel that we are in it, if we end up focusing on those who have hurt us along the way, we will go down avenues that we really don't want to go down. And as followers, we follow always, don't we, in the way of forgiveness. And that's easy to say. I know it's easy to say and not easy to do, but it is absolutely vital if we are to walk in all that God has for us. Something else that we can learn from Jesus from Palm Sunday. Do not be afraid when entering enemy territory. Jesus was entering enemy territory when he went into Jerusalem. They were out to get him. And he knew that, but he also knew that this was the path that the Father had set. Now, he could have sneaked into Jerusalem quietly so that he wouldn't be noticed, but he chose not to, and I love that he chose not to. Because he entered Jerusalem on a donkey's colt, knowing that these people would realize who he was. They would have seen his miracles and they would have heard his teaching and they would have seen him ride in on a donkey's colt and think, "Do you know what? This is the Messiah." He caused a stir. He was proclaiming the gospel. He was saying, "I am Jesus," just like he did with the Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus. "I am Jesus," because he wanted these people to know. He didn't want them to miss the opportunity, even though they may reject him a few days later. This beloved Messiah, our amazing Jesus, showed absolute courage in the face of adversity, and I think that we can all learn from that. Because sometimes God will ask us to walk a path that seems a bit tricky and needs courage and trust and more faith than we feel we have. And this is a path that we can only walk with Jesus close beside us. Otherwise, we will fail. Psalm 91, verse 1 and 2 says, "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust." We serve a God who is almighty, a God to whom we belong. And when we walk into enemy territory, we are protected by the God Most High. And enemy territory can mean different things for each of us. It can be where we work, it can be our family sometimes, or it can be a difficult place that we've been called to witness. But we can walk in faith and trust that God is our protector. And we need boldness and courage that will not come from us, which is why we need to dwell in the shelter of the God Most High. So another event in Holy Week, which is a little bit further on from Palm Sunday, is where Jesus clears the temple. So it's Mark 11, verse 15 to 17. And it says, "On reaching Jerusalem, Jesus entered the temple area and began driving out those who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves, and would not allow anyone to carry merchandise through the temple courts. And as he taught them, he said, 'Is it not written, my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations, but you have made it into a den of thieves?' So what can we learn from this? We can learn that Jesus cleared the temple, and there will be times in our lives when we need a bit of a clean up. There will be times in our lives where Jesus will gently point out things in our lives that need sorting out. And just as he caused a stir as he entered Jerusalem, so Jesus causes a stir when he clears the temple. And if we are followers of Christ, we can expect this. It's not just for new Christians who have much to learn. It's for people who've been Christians for years and years who have much to learn. We are not objects of perfection, are we? We have stuff to sort out all the time. And sometimes I think we can assume those things are going to be the big things like addiction, adultery, pornography. But quite often, it is the big things that we justify as little things. And that can be lots of things, but it can be our heart attitude towards people. It can be our heart attitude towards serving. Maybe the way we talk about people when they're not around. Telling white lies because it makes life easier. Sometimes it can be changing the habits of a lifetime because they were never meant to be our way of life. And we can hide things and actively cover them up. And these can be painful, difficult times. But God never shows us these things in a pressured and accusing way. He doesn't do that. He doesn't say, you're rubbish here, or you're not a very good Christian, or you're not really measuring up. God doesn't do it like that. He gently probes us and says, you need to have a look at this. You can do better here. And as we walk closer to the light of the world, he reveals the shadows in our lives. And that's what these things are. They're shadows that we need to allow the light to shine on. And this is a pruning time, and it's painful and uncomfortable, but it's absolutely necessary for further growth. So when Jesus cleared the temple, it was for a good outcome. The things in the temple did not glorify the Father. And the things in our lives that are not pleasing to him do not glorify him either. So it is for our good and for the good of the kingdom. And if we allow it, it will bear much fruit. I have a footnote here. You can't clear someone else's temple, by the way. You can only work on keeping your own clean. It's very easy to point out things in other people's lives, isn't it? But Jesus will only ever ask us about our own life. Another event in Holy Week was Jesus being anointed at Bethany. Mark chapter 14, verses 1 to 3. While he was in Bethany, reclining at the table in the home of a man known as Simon the leper, a woman came with an alabaster jar of expensive perfume made of pure nard. She broke the jar and poured the perfume on his head. So what can we learn from this? We can learn she absolutely loved him, didn't she? She loved him and it cost her. And I think we can learn from this that our devotion to Jesus will cost us too. If we want moments of intimacy with Jesus, if we want to go deeper with him, then there will be a cost. We will need to rearrange our lives so that we have time to pray, set aside time to be in his presence. If we want to study the Bible, we need to set aside time to read it and to listen to what he says. When we become Christians, we say a prayer, don't we? And part of that prayer is, I give my life to you. We hand it over, us, for his service. There is a cost. And sometimes a lifetime of devotion will cost us our family or even our friends. And Genesis 12, verse 1 says, the Lord said to Abraham, leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to a land that I will show you. There is a cost. There will be a cost to us, and there is a cost to sitting at the feet of Jesus and worshipping him, sitting and being in his presence. And that is because those times are precious. They're absolutely precious, and we see him as he is. And when we see him as he is, our life becomes so much easier, because we know who we're serving and we see him in all of his holiness, and those times change our heart and they put a love on our heart that can never be erased. We are transformed in no doubt when we're in the presence of the King. Another event this week was Gethsemane. Mark chapter 14, verse 32 to 35. They went to a place called Gethsemane, and Jesus said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." He took Peter, James, and John along with him, and he began to be deeply distressed and troubled. "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death," he said to them. "Stay here and keep watch." Going a little further, he fell to the ground and prayed that, if possible, the hour might pass from him. "Abba, Father," he said, "everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will." What can we learn from that? We can learn that there may be times in our lives, times of desperation, times when nothing makes sense, times when it's not fair, times when we say, "Why, Lord? Why have you allowed this to happen?" Times when we may think, "If I was God, I would have done this differently." And life can be hard, can't it? And we don't know how it will play out for us. And being a believer, it does not guarantee an easy life. If it did, the queue for the next Alpha would be halfway around Barnstable. It doesn't. There are no guarantees of an easy life. But from this scripture, we can learn that we can pour out our hearts in our darkest hour to a God who understands, because he's absolutely been there. And the circumstances may seem overwhelming, but God is not overwhelmed. We can share our load with him. It seems like empty words in a desperate situation to say to someone, "Trust God," when they are facing a hopeless situation sometimes, or when it's heartbreaking or tragic or fearful. But looking at what Jesus did, he poured out his heart. He said exactly how he felt. He handed over the anxiety and the fear and the pain, and he put it in the hands of a loving Father who knew him, and then he surrendered it. And somehow the result of that is that he had the courage and the boldness to go to the cross on our behalf. It was on our behalf that he went through this desperate situation. And if we have a God who does that, why would he ever leave us in our darkest hour? He absolutely would not. There are no guarantees of an easy life, but as believers, there is a guarantee that when we go through this life, we absolutely never go through it on our own. We go through it with the God Most High by our side. And when life rocks us, he steadies us. And when life becomes too difficult to bear, he carries us. He never leaves our side, because he is faithful and true. And so, we have looked at a few events of Holy Week. And we can see that the journey with Jesus, it's a varied one. There may be lots of times where we have Palm Sundays where life is pretty good. It may be that we are rejected by people sometimes. It may be that we have to go into enemy territory. We will have to clean up areas of our lives. We will have to count the cost. And there may be times of desperation. But in all of those times, wherever we are in this journey of life, there is always a place that we can go, and that is to bow our knee at the foot of the cross. And so the last event that I want to look at for this week is Mark chapter 15, verse 33 to 39. "At the sixth hour, darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, 'My God, why have you forsaken me?' When some of those standing near heard this, they said, 'Listen, he is calling Elijah.' One man ran, filled a sponge with wine vinegar, put it on a stick, and offered it to Jesus to drink. 'Now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to take him down,' he said. With a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last. The curtain in the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And when the centurion who stood there in front of Jesus heard his cry and saw how he died, he said, 'Surely this man is the Son of God.'" The cross stands above everything. The cross stands above the hearts and attitudes of man. The cross stands above words spoken. It stands above time. It stands above sin. It stands above hurt, pain, and rejection. It stands above sickness and disease, and it stands above every principality and power that can ever come against us. And what can we learn from the cross? Much. We can learn much from the cross. But one thing we can learn is what love is. The reason why he came is because he loves us. And our beloved Jesus walked through this life the same as we do. And this is where he overcame on our behalf. He made a way for us to come to the Father where there was no way. He made a way so that we would never go through this life on our own. He is Emmanuel, God with us. And we can learn forgiveness here. It was our place that he took. He counted the cost and he paid the price. The mess that is ours became his. And this is where we see him as Lord of all, as the Saviour of mankind, Jesus Christ, Yahweh. This is where we see him at the cross. And it is at the cross that we are laid bare, because there is nothing that we can do to add to what has already been done on the cross. The sacrifice that was made was a personal one, a perfect life handed over. I give my life for you. He is a God who knows us and loves us and will never leave our side. And when I was preparing this, I felt God's kindness to us and the fact that whatever we go through in our lives, he is Almighty God, but he was also a human being and he gets it. He knows where we're at and he never leaves us. He walks beside us. He is faithful and true. So I'll just finish by praying, if that's all right, Jerry. Thank you, Father, that you are here by your Holy Spirit, Lord, and that you know each one of us. And I pray, Lord, that each of us would know that wherever we are in that journey of life, Lord God, that you are right beside us. And you're walking the path with us, Lord God. And I pray, Father, for your blessing on each person here, that we may draw closer to you and that we may know you, Lord Jesus, as our Messiah and our Lord of all. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.